We continue in worship by reading God's Word, and I'd like you to turn your attention to John 21 as we come back to John, and we come to a conclusion in John. Not the conclusion of all of our messages in John, because I think I got one more in me. But if you could, in John 21, grab your bulletins. If you have your Bibles, great. But if you don't, grab your bulletins. May even be up on the screen, I'm not sure. But in starting in John 21, verse 15, is where we'll begin as God's grace finds Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said it a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk and wherever you wanted to, but when you are old, you will be stretched out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show the kind of death Peter that he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." I'm going to stop right there. Gracious Father, again, thank you. Thank you for your word. I love you, Jesus. And I'm thankful that you died on the cross for my sins. I'm thankful that you sit at the right hand of the Father and make intercession for us. And may the Holy Spirit speak for me today and give power to the very words that I would preach, Lord, that your word would convict, your word would encourage, your word would exhort, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, it would do amazing things in the lives of the followers of Christ and to those who are being drawn to you, Father. I pray these things in your Son's precious name, in Jesus' name. So, your grace finds me is part two of my message this morning, where Jesus meets Peter. But before I get to Peter, part of my intro, I actually want to go back to the very psalm that Brandon spoke of in Psalm 51. If you know anything about Psalm 51, it is a penitent psalm. There are approximately 8 penance type psalms that are written where David is expressing his sorrow for his sin. I don't know if you know why David wrote Psalm 51, but I want to give you a little bit of an insight as far as my intro goes here. You'd have to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, and if you were in Elevate this morning, that's my shameless plug. Brandon already spoke of this and may have stole some of my thunder to some of you guys. But if you know any reason why he wrote Psalm 51, here's why. It was the spring of the year and the time when kings were off at war. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And David sent his general, he sent Joab off to war. They ravaged the Ammonites and Raba. But David, who was supposed to be with them, he stayed home. So what did David do? Well, he was bored. So he's up on top of his roof and he looks down and he sees a woman. Her name was Bathsheba. The scripture goes on to say that David wanted her. And Bathsheba was married to Uriah. And Uriah, of course, was at war with Joab. And so David said to Bathsheba, summon her to my house, and he slept with her. That's called adultery, by the way. Well, of course, David found out that she was pregnant. And so, what's the right thing to do? Confess your sin before God, right then. No, David decided to call Uriah back and try and get him to sleep with his own wife so he could cover up his sin. And I mean, did you see the just seething sin that's going on here? Oh, did I forget to mention that God calls David a man after my own heart? Oh, I think I forgot to mention that. Well, David tries to cover up his sin, and ultimately Uriah gets killed. He puts Uriah, he has Joab send Uriah in front of the battle lines, where Uriah is then all alone and is murdered. That's a guy after God's own heart. And so in chapter 12, we see Nathan, a prophet of God. And not only that, but it says in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, the Lord sent Nathan. Oh, what grace. So easy to see other people's sin, but your own. And so Nathan confronts David, and he says, he begins to say this, he gives an analogy of a horrible man, and I'm going to cut this a little bit short, but David ends up in saying, as the Lord lives, what this man has done, he should die. And Nathan turns to him and says, you are this man. And instantly David was cut to the quick and realized that God was confronting him in his sin of adultery, murder. And so we have Psalm 51. And it begins with Psalm 51. Oh, be gracious. Some of your translations say, be gracious to me, O God. Some translations, ESV says, have mercy on me, O God. See, David understood. See, that word mercy there is the same root word for the Hebrew word for grace. David knew it was but by God's grace that he would be restored in his sin. I wanted Brandon to read that psalm because I think it's a great introduction for another man's sin. And that's Peter. Oh, Peter. Why does God want to restore followers of Christ? Why does, by His grace, does He want to restore you? Is it to make you feel better about your sin that you've committed? Does He just want you to make you feel better? No. No, this is going to hurt some of you. Ready? He doesn't want you to make you feel better about your sin. See, God knows that the chief end of man is to glorify God. And you cannot glorify God in sin. And so by God's grace, He is going to restore men and women for His glory. Not to make you feel better, but to realize you're not glorifying God in your sin. That's grace, people. That is grace. That is what He's doing to Peter. Does He want to restore you this morning? Does He want to bring you to a point of grace where you feel that you're unworthy of what God has done for you? So that you might begin to make Him famous again. This morning, when grace finds you, like He did on the shore of Galilee, how will you respond to the grace of God? We look at Peter and we see how he responds to the grace of God. The question is how will we respond when the grace of God is in front of you? Look at in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Listen to the grace of God. But go and tell the disciples, and who? And Peter. And going before you in Galilee, then I will see them just as I told you. See, Jesus knew that when he was going to go to Galilee, he needed the disciples to come, but he said specifically, go and get Peter. Why did he have to go and tell, go get Peter? We know the context in John 18, don't we? Preached about it a few weeks ago or months ago. Where Peter denied Jesus three times. You know that same Peter that just hours before those denials, 100, 200 men were standing around, soldiers ready to take Jesus. What did Peter do? Grabbed a sword, cut off a guy's ear. I mean, you think this guy was a wimp? That he wasn't a follower of Jesus? No, this guy was a believer. It illustrates it in John 6, 66 through 57, Peter's confession. Where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter was a follower of Christ. And yet in John 18, we see that he denied Christ three times and right to his face. Standing up in front of 200 soldiers, he was ready to draw a sword. And a little slave girl says, you're one of Jesus' followers. And he crumbles at the feet of a little girl crying out, you're one of Jesus' followers. Can you imagine how bad Peter felt? Oh, but we see Peter gets thrown under the bus here, don't we? All the Gospels, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, all of them mention Peter's denial. Oh, but thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit we have in Matthew 26, verses 30 through 35. They all denied him that day. They all denied knowing Jesus that day. Oh, Peter gets the blunt force of all of this. But you need to recognize there is a day when we all need the grace of God in our sins. HPC, will you deny Jesus this week? Now, don't be so quick to answer. I get it. You love Jesus. I do too. But if you think for 1 minute you can go about your week without the grace of Jesus, you will deny him. Does that make you feel good? See, in John 21, 15 through 25, Jesus knows he needs to restore a believer. Jesus needs to restore a follower of Christ by his grace. Listen, his grace will confront you in your sin. It's not about making you feel better about your sin. It's to center your attention on what really matters, which is to glorify God. He will address your sin. Look at verse 15 with me as we begin to walk through this. I have 3 points to make as you respond to God's grace. Look at verse 21 with me. And Jesus revealed himself again to, I'm sorry, verse 15. And when he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter this, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, you remember back when Jesus first met Peter back in Matthew chapter 4. He gave him a new name. His name was Peter, the rock. When Jesus uses his birth name, Simon, son of John, it is a direct correlation to the fact that Peter was living by the flesh. When you get in trouble as a young man, I remember my mom, anytime I would hear Gregory Vincent Pollock, my birth name, I knew I was in trouble. When I say Quinlan Jean Pollock, she knows there's trouble on the horizon. Brinkley Laura, Eden Lee. I just want to go through them all. Boaz Gregory, Moses Emmett. And so we have Jesus, by his grace, confronting Peter's sin. that he was acting in the flesh when he denied him. See, isn't that grace? See, grace isn't trying to make you feel better about your sin. Grace is confronting your sin. And that's what Jesus was going to do. So again, how will you respond to the grace of God this morning when he finds you in your sin? When you've denied Jesus and denied him again and denied him again, and Jesus comes to you and he says, by your birth name, how will you respond to the grace of God? Well, let's look and see how Peter responds. The first thing that I see is Peter has a humble response. Look at verses 15, 16, and 17 with me again. Simon, do you love me more than these? And Peter responds, I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Three times he says it. Now, I'm not going to get wrapped up in the Greek here. A lot of people spend a lot of time on the agapo and the phileo love. I've come to a conclusion that I don't necessarily believe that he's trying to make a point in regards to the Greek on here. I think what he's trying to do, what John is writing here, is that you need to respond humbly when Christ confronts you in your sin. I want to focus more on verse 17. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. And he said to them, do you love me a third time? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. Now that word is gnosko. It literally means a deeper, fuller knowledge. What Jesus is saying is, I know deep down inside, Peter, I know that you love me. And what Peter is saying is, listen, God, I know that without you, I can do nothing. You know everything. It's a humble response. Have you ever said, I will never deny you? Not me. If everyone else denies you, Lord, not me. Pride. It's only by God's grace that you will walk with Jesus. Listen. Pride does not work with a walk with Jesus. Do you know this? Peter had to learn. Because as he was so bold in telling everyone, if everyone denies you, Jesus, I won't deny you. It's our pride that leads us to a fall. Matthew 23, verses 12, it says that he will humble those who exalt themselves. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus is looking for a humble spirit and a humble response when he confronts you in your sin. When I was getting into ministry for the first time at the college ministry at Saylorville Church, I used to work at Wells Fargo. An amen? Do I get an amen for working at Wells Fargo? Okay, no. Well, I worked at a phone bank, okay? And during that time in a phone bank, all I did was I called people to consolidate all their home equity loans. Okay? And man, a lot of people needed consolidating. I may have called some of you. No, I don't know. This job made me sick. I worked for an 18-year-old girl. I don't know if she was 18, but she sure seemed like she was 18. Sarah. I'll never forget Sarah. Sarah. I hope Sarah knows Jesus. She had such a strong personality. She let everyone know, especially me, that she was the boss. Well, one day, while I was slaving at DMAC with these college students trying to share Jesus, I went to work that day and I forgot my dress shoes. Now, many of you are thinking, you're in a phone bank for crying out loud. What do you need dress shoes for? Amen. Amen. So I went to work without my dress shoes, proper phone banking attire. So I kept my feet underneath my desk. And Sarah looks. She sees that I'm not wearing dress shoes. I'm wearing sandals. And Sarah says, I need you to go home and go get dress shoes. Can I tell you a little bit of pride came out? Who does she think she is? I'm a phone banker, for crying out loud. You're going to make me go home, drive 30 minutes to Ankeny, drive 30 minutes back, waste an hour of time just to put on dress shoes? You're an idiot. That's what I said in my heart. And she said, either you go get dress shoes or you go home. Or you go home. I'm thinking, I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to go tell your boss. No. So I get in my car and I'm driving home to go get dress shoes. And so what do? I call one of my buddies, Lucas. And I call Lucas and I'm like, Lucas, can I just vent for a little bit? He says, sure. I said, there's this idiot, Sarah. And she's making me go home and get dress shoes. Can you believe her? And Lucas said to me, he goes, Greg, can I ask you a question? I said, what, Lucas? He said, does she know Jesus? Oh, no, of course not. She's making me go home. She's of the devil, Lucas. And Lucas said, Greg, does it make you feel any better knowing she's going to hell? You know, Lucas, I called you to help me here. And you know what? By God's grace, he did. See, I'm a prideful man. I think I know a lot. See, I really do want to help people. I really do love people. But if I think for 1 minute that I can pastor without the grace of Jesus, I am sorely mistaken. Peter didn't need to feel better about his sin. He needed to learn that sin put you in a place where you will not glorify God. Peter needed to learn he needed to be dependent on God alone. That he couldn't do it alone on his strength. What's your response to God's grace? When someone confronts you in sin, is your natural response to be humble? Or is it to play the blame game? See, God's grace will find you. God's grace will try and restore you, but it's your ability to humble yourself like Peter did. God, you know everything. You knew I was going to deny you. You knew I was going to do this, and yet you went to the cross for me. You know everything. Gnosko, deeper. Fuller, intimately, you know everything about me. How dare I try and hide it from you? That's the humble response Christ needs from you. The next thing I see, it's in the same verses 15, 16, and 17. The next response, that when the grace of God finds you, not only a humble response, but you need a servant's response. After Peter responds in humility, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. You know everything, Lord. Jesus responds with, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Peter, serve people. Get your focus off yourself. And look to people. Peter needed to learn his ministry was about people. And God had a job for Peter. And God has a job for you. See, what Satan wants to do is deceive you. Sinner, follower of Jesus Christ, you will sin. And as God's grace restores you and humbles you, He is going to cause you to serve other people. Wasn't that David's response? Did you catch it in Psalm 51? Verse 13, look at it with me again. Then, this is after David pours out his heart that he had sinned and that his sin alone was against God. He humbled himself. He asked God to restore the joy of his salvation. Cleanse me of my sin. And then, after a humble response, and then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners to return to you. You see what happens? Do you see what happens, Peter? Do you see what happens? When God's grace finds you and He restores you, He humbles you in your sin, He wants you to teach other people. You will fall, but the grace of God picking you up is a teachable moment to every single person. God does not want to waste your sin. Do you hear what I'm saying there? Don't waste your sin. God wants to use that very sin to teach others of the grace of God. How He humbled you. And how He brought you to other people. To teach them how God's grace restored you, confronted you, convicted you. All the things that are good about God's grace. He's not going to leave you in your sin. But I promise you, if your response to the grace of God is pride, well then, God's going to turn it up a notch. And for the sake of time, read Hebrews chapter 12 for your own time. Listen, Jesus' grace, when He finds you in your sin, He will turn your attention away from yourself and to people, just like Jesus. Don't waste your sin. See, Peter learned a valuable lesson, didn't he? Jason mentioned it yesterday. But look what Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:10. Listen how he's learned. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's grace. See, when God's grace finds you, He will humble you and turn your attention to serve other people. That is a gift. Happy Christians are serving Christians. Listen, Peter was going to go back to work. Peter was going to go back fishing. And when Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" He was making a very direct point towards, "Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than all these people?" Peter needed to learn no matter where he went, he was to follow Jesus. On Monday, what are you going to do? Is it go back to normal day? Things are never normal when you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You were bought with a price. The last thing. When grace finds you, as grace found Peter, as grace found David, as grace has found me, not only should you have a humble response, not only should you have a servant's response, but finally, you should have an obedient response. Look at what Jesus says in verse 19 and 22. And after saying this, He said to him, "Follow me." And in verse 22, Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you? Follow me. Remember the first time that Jesus met Peter? It's funny, we have little bookends here. The first time he met Jesus, he said in Matthew 4, 18 through 20, follow along with me again. Immediately, while they were walking by the Sea of Galilee, same place, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men to serve. And so we come back. Part of that grace, that restoration, is bring you back to that first time when you met Jesus. Do you remember your salvation? Do you remember the day when you placed your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? When you believed on the Lord Jesus? Romans chapter says when you confess, that's to agree with what Jesus has done. Listen, you need an obedient response. When the grace of Jesus finds you, he is asking you to be obedient to the very call that he called you when he saved you, which is to follow him. Did you confess him as your Lord? That is to say that he is the ruler of your life. When the grace of God finds you, he is imploring you to be obedient. Follow him again. Oftentimes we wallow in our sin, don't we? We've done something that is so horrible, and Satan has convinced us so desperately that how could you possibly be a Christian? How could you possibly do that? And that Jesus says, don't wallow, follow. Don't wallow, follow. Listen, he'll confront you in your sin. That is grace. But he desires for you to have a humble response, a servant's response, and an obedient response. Get back up and follow Jesus. That is the grace of God. So this morning, when grace finds you in your sin, follower of Jesus Christ, when grace finds you in your sin, how will you respond? Will you respond humbly? By his grace? Will you respond as a servant? By his grace. Will you respond obediently? By his grace. Oh, and thank God he gave us his Holy Spirit to enable us to remember all that Jesus has taught. He's a good God. If you walk away from here, just one quick thought. Jesus doesn't want you to make you feel better about your sin. That is not the purpose of confrontation. That is not the purpose of him sitting at the beach with Peter. It is not to make him feel better about his sin. It's to get him busy to glorify God. And you cannot glorify God when you're in sin. So how will you respond? Don't confuse restoration with your need for salvation. Okay? As I close here, there are some of you in this room. You don't need to be restored because you're not one of his children. Jesus says, to those who receive me, they are given the right to become children of God. Those who receive me, receive my grace. Jesus wants to give you his grace. His favor. And all you have to do is place your trust in Jesus as Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Confess that your sin has separated you from a holy God. And that you deserve the wrath of God. And that his grace covered you. God clothed you with his righteousness. his righteous robe, Isaiah says. Place your trust in him. Humbly respond that way. And then, and only then, will you be saved. Listen, for those of us who do know Christ, we will need restoring. There will be days when you sense the immense pressure of your sin. That's a good thing. But God, by his grace, won't let you stay there. That is, of course, unless you let your pride let you stay there. My prayer is that we as a church, High Point Church, would respond to the grace of God in a humble way, in a servant's way, and in an obedient way. All being led by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for passages like John 21. I'm thankful for men like Peter. I'm thankful for men like David. But most importantly, I'm thankful for you, Jesus. You lived a perfect life to be the atoning sacrifice for my sin. I'm so grateful for your grace, your undeserved favor. Oh God, pour your grace on us. God, help us. Holy Spirit, lead and enable us to understand your word. Illuminate the very scripture so that we might be convicted by our sin and humbly respond. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that you are faithful when we are faithless. And may you get all the glory. May you be made famous every day in our lives as you save people and you restore your children. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Please stand and man will close us in our final song.